Good evening, class. Okay, got another good lesson for you. We're going to be dealing with David's knowledge of authority. I give you a minute or so to find this in your book, but we're going to stick pretty close with the lesson because this is a fantastic lesson. Last week, we dealt with Korah, Dathan, and Abiram. I didn't get a chance to finish it, but I think we got the gist of it. It's so much information, class, that I think we got the gist of collective rebellion. We still had to deal with Dathan and the bottom. I never got to that. But I want to move on to David's knowledge of authority. We're about to see David function in a New Testament. How would I say it? He's an Old Testament patriarch that functioned in New Testament revelation. Boy, that's the best I can say with that. I say New Testament revelation because he had insight. God gave David insight about authority that the church need to study and understand how God found David a man after his own heart. And it's so wonderful to see how he functioned as king, but it didn't start as king. You see it? God always have an origin for people. And I don't know if you ever found your origin. Well, when I see your origin, how God developed you and trained you in the years before. If you ever reflect back on your life, David had a beginning, and it was a humble beginning. And when Samuel began to choose David as king, he went through all David's, I'm trying to think of David's father, went through all of his sons, and when he got to the last one of his elder son, he said, do you have anybody else? Yeah, we got this young man that watching a few sheep that my father had. And so he said, go get him. Come to find out, deal with God's man. Well, if you think about it, David was trained as a shepherd. And David had a heart that God really, moved and inspired God. David was just a unique person. God looking for unique people to do unique things for him and take unique character. And God has somehow, or David somehow permitted God to develop that unique character in him. And you know, sometimes people might not understand why you are the way you are, why you do things the way you do, why you feel the way you feel about things, because it's a uniqueness. God created unique people for unique work and for unique service. And sometimes, you know, you don't see it yourself at the time, but God is always developing you. That's why no training is wasted time. No test should be a test that shouldn't come up with some kind of positive result. And sometimes God tests us to see what's in our hearts and to say this, that David was a man after God's heart, because God sought after David. God looked for David. God found David. You know, and sometimes I try to look at my own life and see my simple beginning and see my simple thoughts and see how God developed me over the year to, you know, to be able to serve properly without interruption. You see it? It takes special people to do special things. Are you that person to be that special person to do special things? And, you know, men might not always understand you. Men, I had people come up to me many times and say, you should do this and you should do this. I said, no, that's not what God telling me to do. And so you got to be separated from people. David was separated in that shepherd field, just him and God. And God found his purpose, and God allowed him to find his purpose unaware of what God was going to use him for, unaware how great God was going to allow him to be, unaware of what was his future held for him. But he just knew that he had a certain personality that God loved. Was he without fault? No, David was not without fault. Or you without fault? No, am I without fault? No, but God nurtured those faults. Yeah, God nurtured those faults. Now, I hope you found your lesson yet. I give you enough time to find your lesson. We're dealing with David's knowledge of authority. And you can't really submit to authority unless you have a certain knowledge of authority. We've been dealing with the principle of disobedience. Now, we need to deal a little bit. It's good to know what you not ought not to do, but it's also good to know what you ought to do. So you know what you ought not to do. That makes sense? Yeah. So David's knowledge of authority, we're about to discover why David was a man after God's own heart. And I wrote it down in my notes. It was the consummation of his previous training. Sometimes you're being trained and don't know why you're being trained. Sometimes, you know, you have experiences and you don't know why you're having certain experiences. Sometimes you just don't know. You just don't know what God's going to do with you all the time. All right? So we're going to start with 1 Samuel 24, 4 through 6. I'm just going to read right out of the textbook today, Claire, because it's such a good lesson. I want you to, we want to delve into this and kind of watch what's going on in David's life here and why God honored him in such a manner as a king and a man after his own heart. Matter of fact, the Lord Jesus came after the lineage of David. You know, and that speaks volume to me. It spoke volume because when the lineage, God chose the lineage of obedience to bring forth the greatest man of obedience, the Lord Jesus Christ. You see it? All right, now, I'm reading, beginning at the fourth verse, 1 Samuel 24, verse 4. And the men of David said unto him, behold, the day of which Jehovah said unto thee, behold, I will deliver thy enemy into thy hand, thou shalt do to him as it shall seem good unto thee. Then David arose and cut off the skirt of Saul's robe privily. Now, to give you a little, now you all a Bible student. I don't know how far I got to go back to bring you up to speed here. You know, I don't know how much knowledge you have of David and Saul. Well, Saul in the 15th chapter of 1 Samuel was rejected as king. And now Samuel anoints David to be king. And so now David, there's two kings. A king that's still on the throne, which was Saul, and a king that haven't been enthroned yet. You see it? And so now Saul, David was enlisted in his own army, and now the people would sing song. Saul, let's kill a thousand. David has killed his 10,000. And Saul knew something was going on with David. And Saul knew that, you know, David was aspired to be something or someone great. And he was jealous of David because he knew one day David was going to be king and the men were going to gather around him and crown him as king. And so he said, well, I need to get this man out of the way because this man's a threat unto me. Almost like King Herod did when he heard that Jesus was being born. He didn't want another king being enthroned and take his place. When he found out was a king born, he said, go find this child and so we can kill him and get him out of the way. They wanted to murder Jesus at an early age. But God hid them, just like he did David. God hid him and God protected him until he came of age. And so David was hidden by God. And David was preserved because God knew what he was going to be. All right? But here in the story here, we see that Saul looking for David to kill him here. And now David had a group of men that had surrounded himself around him. And so David wasn't alone here. He had some men to protect him. God gave him a host of men. That David put himself into him. You know, if you read this, I forget what scripture is in, but they gather around David, and David trained them. David rose them up to be great men. And they loved David. And so now one of his men said, behold, I will deliver thy enemy, the Lord said, I will deliver him enemy to thy hand. He said, and thou shalt do him as it shall seem good unto thee. Then David rose and cut off the skirt of Saul's privily. The man spoke to David, one of his men, said, look, I believe God to deliver you. I believe that God put Saul here so you can take Saul out of the way. I believe God delivered you out of Saul's hand. We can take him out right now. You can do to him as you please. But David went in, Saul was asleep, and all David did was took his sword and he cut the skirt off of his robe privately, never even awoke King Saul. And we're going to find out something happened after that. And he said unto his men, Jehovah, sixth verse, Jehovah forbid. No, fifth verse. And it came to pass afterward that David's heart smote him because he had cut off Saul's skirt. That's the tenderness of David's heart. See, David knew that he was touching God's anointed. And David knew that cutting off the skirt was wrong for me to do that to God's anointed. And he said his heart smote them. And I like to use this New Testament word. His heart convicted him. He knew that was wrong. And that's something that you need to have as a person that learns authority. You must have conviction from the Holy Ghost whenever you say, think, or do something that's not right toward authority. But that was a good mark of authority right there when David's heart convicted him. In the sixth verse, and he said unto his men, Jehovah forbid that I should do this thing unto my Lord, Jehovah's anointed, to put forth my hand against him, seeing he is Jehovah's anointed. And you see that? He recognized authority. You can't be in authority until you recognize authority. And when you recognize authority, you treat him as authority. You see, so it wasn't David's responsibility. Oh, listen at me now. It wasn't David's responsibility or calling to correct Saul. Because David didn't call Saul to be king. David didn't anoint Saul to be king. So it wasn't David's place to correct a wrong here of Saul's error. You see it? So he said it's wrong to touch the Lord's anointing. Are you with me? Now let's move on now. 1 Samuel 26. Here's another instance of David's knowledge of authority. Because here's another opportunity for Saul to really take, for David to really take Saul's life, and could have went straight to the throne because Saul is out the way now. You see, but here's another instance, another test, and another opportunity for David to put himself on the throne. Oh, I see something else. You don't never want to go on the throne ahead of time. You see? See, God always, if you call to something greater than you think you are, you don't never want to advance before your time. You see it? Because then God's not going to be with you. David waited till God was with him. David waited till God confirmed him. David waited till God put him in position and put him in place. You see it? So sometimes there is a true calling. And sometimes, but you know what I do know? And you know what I say? And I'll say it to the day I leave this earth. If God called me to do something else, my apostle going to set me for. He's going to send me. I'm going to be sent, and I'm not going to be a went one. Some went, and it's still winning, wenting. And that's not a word, a W-E-N-T-I-N-G. It's still wenting because they never find out where they're supposed to be yet. They went, but they never find out where they were sent. They're still going around like the children of Israel in the wilderness, still trying to find. I know some people that have been in three churches, been in four churches, then tried this word, then tried that word. They're still trying to find out where they were sent. And they wasn't sent. You cannot find out where you were sent if you went. I hope I'm making sense, Claire. That's why, yeah, I think true sending all is come from your spiritual leader. Like the apostle did in the 13th chapter of Acts. The Holy Ghost said, separate unto me, Saul and Barnabas for the work which I have called them to do. You see, people call themselves in these days. I don't mean to get over here, Clem, but men calling themselves. Yeah, they may have a genuine calling, but they're sending themselves before. They're sending themselves before the time. They're trying to get to the throne before God appoint them to the throne. They're trying to get to the position before God even. Amen. Let me move on now. Now, 1 Samuel 26 and verse 9. And David said to Abishai, that was his armor bearer. And David said to Abishai, touch him not, for who can put forth his hand against Jehovah's anointed and be guiltless? Isn't that something? Jehovah forbid that I should put forth my hand against Jehovah's anointed. At 1 Samuel 26, that's another instance. You need to read this for yourself. This time, Saul came before David, and David was in the sheepfold. I think that's the right one. He was in the sheepfold, and he saw Saul camp around outside. And so it meant showing to him, and David had an opportunity to kill Saul. Abishai said this. He said, look, you don't even have to touch him. He said, I'm gonna hit him one time with the sword. He's not going to even suffer. Your hand going to be clean. His blood will be on me. He said, no, who can put forth their hand against the Lord anointed and be blameless? You see it? So 2 Samuel 1 and 14. And David said unto him, how wilt thou not afraid to put forth thy hand to destroy Jehovah's anointed? 2 Samuel 1 and 14. Now, I might not have all these things verse by verse, line. You might read it for yourself to make sure I was saying the right thing. I didn't go and research. I didn't read the full context of the scripture. But I went straight to the point of the scripture that shows what we're trying to get to. But putting your hand before or on God's anointed and be blameless, you can't do that. You can't touch God's anointed people and God not hold you. You cannot even speak evil against God appointed people and be blameless. So my point with proving these scriptures here, for to read the context, read it yourself, because I want you to see the full picture if you read what's going on. But the point is this. This statement here, not at a price of rebellion did David seek the throne. I'm trying to show you David's heart here. David will not seek the throne at the price of coming against his master. He called Saul my master one time. Coming against his God's servant, he wouldn't put his throne, he wouldn't seek the throne at the price of rebelling against Saul. All right. Now, the time God formally inaugurated his authority on earth was at the time the kingdom of Israel was established. So this is the first instance here that God really set up a earthly kingdom using a servant of his. Now, it came all the way through Moses, and the children of Israel will separate themselves. And now, let me read. The children of Israel wanted a king. Let me just read. The Israelites, having entered Canaan, asked God for a king. Whereupon God commissioned Samuel to anoint Saul to be his first king. Saul was chosen and set up by God to be his delegated authority. Unfortunately, after he became king, he disobeyed God's authority, even to the point of seeking to destroy him. He spared the king of the Amalekites, we read that earlier chapter, and the best of the sheep and oxen and fatling and the lamb and all that was good. Since this was done in disobedience to God's word, God rejected Saul and anointed David. Now, I want you to see that. God rejected Saul and anointed David. Nevertheless, David was still a man under Saul's authority. Now, you got to see this. Now, God anointed David to be king, but yet David still was under God's authority because Saul was not dethroned yet. And so now, here, this is my point earlier, that God got two kings. You see it? He was numbered among Saul's people, was enlisted in Saul's army. He served under Saul. He fought battles for Saul. And was later chosen as Saul's son-in-law. You need to read the whole book of Samuel, 1 and 2 Samuel, to find out exactly what God did here, how God worked his plan of authority through Saul and through David. And it tells the battles that he was in. You need to read it for yourself to get the full picture. You know, it'll feel like I'm almost robbing you without you getting the full knowledge of what's happening here. See, in these classes here, we can't really instruct everything. But to see the full picture, you got to do a little extra reading on your own time. And be hungry, my class. Be hungry to always know and want to see more and more of God. And I learned that from my pastor. Always look more and more of God without somebody telling you to do it. No, develop that hunger and thirst for God on your own. And I mean, it's just good reading. All you read not in vain. You see, all your study is not in vain. I would read and read and read and read and read. Don't know why I was reading. You see, but now I have a clearer understanding of what God is saying to us, you know, as a people here. So David was listening to Saul army and was later chosen as Saul's son-in-law. Hence, both of them were anointed, but then many times Saul sought to kill David. Israel now had two kings. The rejected one was still on the throne, and the chosen one had yet to be enthroned. David was in a most difficult position. Now, you know, sometimes God will put you in a difficult position. You know, sometimes we call it hard places. But, you know, if God don't know how you function in a difficult position, you never been tested. You see it? If you never been in an awkward position, if you never been corrected, you don't know how you're going to respond. And God want to know how you're going to respond. Saul went to see David in the wilderness of Engedi. Along the way, he entered a cave in which was sitting David and his men in the inner part. The men of David suggested to him that he should kill Saul, but David resisted the temptation, for he dared not raise his hand against authority. Now, here's another point, Clem. Here's another point here. Don't apostle. I always got to reflect back to apostle because I learned all these things through him over the year. And what I find out is that never get too familiar with your spiritual leader. Know your spiritual leader, but never get too familiar on a personal level. You see, and spiritual leaders, you can't get too close to those who are under you at the same token. Why? Because then you can permit them to lead you in places God never desired for you to go. Do things God not. In other words, if you serving, keep all your opinions to yourself. I never brought out the opinions, what I think, unless he asked me, what you think, Ron? But other than that, I will never solicit information or try to put things out to try to insinuate certain things he ought to do or think, because then I get in God's way. But I saw this in David. David never let his men got in between him and God and persuaded him. You're going to find out that we're going to find out David's men said, God, they almost like they prophesied to David. God had put Saul right here before you. This is a good time. I think you can go and do this and the will of God to be done. No, that's not what the will of God. You see it? Spiritual leader had to have discernment And those that are serving spiritual leaders need to keep your mouth shut sometimes. Because you don't know what God's doing with authority. Yep, sometimes you need to learn how to be quiet, be still around your spiritual leader. I've learned that over the years. I can be around an apostle and don't say a word unless I'm spoken to. Yeah. See, I never permit myself to get familiar with him. And you are not either. Never permit, see, never was buddy-buddy. Never trying to be buddy-buddy. Yeah, I've done certain things with him. But I always stayed in the place of submission. You know, he used to ride horses, and I always found myself in an assistant position. I made sure his horse was saddled right and made sure his horse was nice and calm. I've been on boat ride with him, make sure his boats and everything was running right. And I even did the driving for him in his own boat. And just to do things, but I never got in a position where I felt comfortable to say things, just to say things, casually say things. And I've done so many things with apostles, rode motorbikes with him. Yeah, yeah. And so you have an opportunity to try to become common with him, but you can't. I'm talking about your spiritual leader. So you always got to keep a certain distance in the spirit where you can always reverend them. And it's rare sometimes. Sometimes people, you know, your spiritual leader sometimes needs somebody to be able to have that relationship with them. But you can't never allow yourself to get too comfortable. I'm trying to teach you something, Claire, or show you something. Get too comfortable with them. Always give them their space and the respect that's due to them, and never get between them and God in what you say. You know, I learned a word. My wife is a word person. I said she's a word person. When you say something, she won't know what it means. Is she a word? One time I kept saying, yep, 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 yep. I kept saying the word yep. And my wife looked the word yep up. And to my amazement, she said, Ronald, look what it means. It says, the less said, the better. Wow. I said, wow. Sometimes that's what we ought to do. We ought to function in yep. Less said, the better. So sometimes get around your spiritual leader, the less you say it, the better sometimes. I just thought I'd throw that out because it seemed good for me to say that. All right. Now, why then should David not help himself to be king? Would it not be a good move to help God accomplish his will? It sounds like it is a good idea. Say, well, this is the will of the Lord. But no, you get in God's way because God deal with not time, but God deal with time in. Everything had to be a certain time. Yet David strongly felt he could not kill Saul. To do so would be to rebel against God's authority. So the anointing of the Lord was still on Saul. Though Saul was rejected, he was nonetheless God's anointed, once set up by God. You see, even though he was rejected by God, he still stood in the position of king, and the anointing was upon the position. You see, even though his heart wasn't right toward God, he didn't obey God fully, but yet that position carries a certain anointing that in a position of authority that God honors. And so Saul stood in that position, and David recognized that. So one of the key things that kept David in the right place with God was David understood this authority. And as I said earlier, he an Old Testament patriarch functioning with New Testament perception. Sometimes these old patriots, sometimes these Old Testament believers, they had more insight. They looked like they had more reverence for God sometimes. If you don't watch it, you know, you can think because you're spiritual, you can say and do anything you want in the name of Jesus, and you can't. You'll be violating spiritual laws and don't know it sometimes. And you understand what I'm saying, Claire? Don't violate spiritual laws if you know better. Though Saul was rejected, he was nonetheless God's anointed, one set up by God. Was Saul to be killed at this time? David could immediately ascend to the throne, and the will of God need not be delayed for many years. But David was a man who knew how to deny himself. You see, sometimes we think God want to move tomorrow or today, but God always has a plan, and God always let that plan run to his full fruition. Are you with me? Once God had installed Saul as king and had put David under Saul's authority, David would have had to pay the price of rebellion to get to the throne by killing Saul. Now, David was placed under Saul for a reason. David was placed under Saul to learn about the government. He didn't know it at the time. David didn't know at a particular time he was going to succeed Saul as king. But God knew it, and God permitted him to be trained under Saul. Are you with me? Take the training, Clad. God always trying to get you somewhere. The principle involved is similar to Michael's restraint from pronouncing a reviling judgment upon Satan. Authority, we can therefore see, is a matter of extreme deep implication. Now, here's another point. Here's another area we need to go in and listen closely. And this is what we don't understand, because a lot of us never been this far in authority or understood it enough. But David did. And so because David had this knowledge of authority, he was able to understand that obedience was higher than work. You know, we're gonna let the lesson explain itself. If men are to serve God, subjection to authority is an absolute necessity. Obedience transcends our work. Now, we're gonna explain that. Should David rule his kingdom but fail to be subject to God's authority, he would be as useless as Saul. You see what I'm saying? I'm going to read that again. Should David rule his kingdom but fail to be subject to God's authority, he would be as useless as Saul. You see, you can't get caught up with the work and not have an understanding of obeying God. Because you just see the works, and you don't see that obedience transcends that work. In other words, the work can't be fully fulfilled unless you do it the way God says do it. Some people got their eyes on just the work, on doing a lot of things, and miss the obedience or instruction that God gave you concerning the word. And so you say you'll be just as useless as Saul, because Saul knew the script. Saul knew what the king was supposed to do. And some people trying to function out of head knowledge. I know how to do this. You can know how a pastor should pastor, but if you never been connected to the work and to obedience. See, that work through the sense knowledge and that work through obedience, and they're almost two worlds apart. I hope you catch what I'm trying to say. In the same principle of rebellion worked both in the Old Testament and in the New Testament. Judas, in New Testament Judas, the first spared the best of the sheep and of the oxen, while the second coveted the 30 pieces of silver. Consecration, listen to this now. Consecration does not cover the sin of rebellion. David did not dare kill Saul with his own hand. In order to expedite God's plan and will, he waited for God to work. Now remember this. Underline this in your book, Claire. David waited for God to work. His heart was in quiet obedience. Even that one time when he cut off Saul's skirt, his heart smote him. David's spiritual sense was as keen as that of New Testament believers. Sure today, we should not merely condemn killing, even a smaller action, such as the cutting off of another's skirt with a small knife, is to be condemned. For it too, is rebellion. Now, let me explain that in my understanding of what this means. Rebellion is far more than David killing Saul to be king. That's the far side of rebellion. But the near side of rebellion is when rebellion comes to the point of consciousness. When you're conscious of any act that's rebellious, prior to committing that act, that's obedience in its fullness. Are you with me? When you have a conviction conviction and a knowing, when obedience is printed on the tables of your heart, where you get so full of obedience where it will not even permit you to even think wrong at some point, more or less do what's wrong. When you're fully walking under the principle of authority, even the very thought, like David, of coming against your spiritual leader caused your heart to be smote or caused conviction. I dare not even think of doing certain things that can cause rebellion. You see it? You become so sensitive to this subject I'm talking about that even the very thought of it make your heart smooth. That's when God is begin to develop you to a place where you become suitable and capable of standing your ground in spiritual things. When you come to a place of maturity where you don't react after the fact, but when you react prior to the fact, even when your conversation begins to shape into the likeness of God, even when you not permit the wrong thoughts to even come in, when it comes to the point of submission and rebellion, even when words of rebellion comes to your thought life and you reject them and cast them down, that's when you know you're arriving to a consciousness of this authority that we're talking about. Far from let it become to the point where you're overly expose your heart to wrongful deeds and slanderous words. That should be far from you. You should get way ahead of the enemy and way ahead of your own thoughts and understanding and right functioning in the mind of God when it comes to this matter. Class, it's more to be said, and some things, you know, you can't teach. Some things you just got to learn, and some things you got to covet after. Covet after knowing these lessons. Covet after walking in this special truth as followers in the kingdom of God and the work of God. Next week, we're gonna deal with the obedience of the Son. So we're going to start studying that area. You can start overlooking that chapter. I think it's chapter 5, I'm not sure. Talk about the obedience of the Son. And we're going to see where God gave us the most masterful insight of obedience to authority through the Lord Jesus Christ. Class, you've been a good class, and I hope you understood some things we were saying today, and I'll see you next week.